Readings for January 22nd, 03, Hebrews 7, 1-3, and 15-17, Mark 3, 1-6.
Next year we'll be looking at Mark, but I thought this year we'd continue to look at Hebrews. But just one thing to notice, Pharisees and Herodians, they hated each other. The only thing they could agree on was getting rid of Jesus. It's the only thing. Herodians against him to put him to death. We're moving now in chapter 7, and they take sections of it here, leaving out some of it, from chapter 7. And this is where we have this notion of Melchizedek. See, the author is a man very learned in the scriptures. There's no doubt about this. And he's probably an Alexandrian Jew. And he's writing to help his fellow religionists, the Jewish Christians, not relinquish their Christianity and go back into Judaism because of persecution and difficulty and so forth. So he argues like a rabbi. He may have been a rabbi in Alexandria, we don't know. As Origen said, if there's one thing only God knows, it's the author of the letter to the Hebrews. Nobody knows who. When we get to heaven, look around and find out. I mean, it'd be wonderful to find out who wrote it. But, so here he is. His basic argument is, look, the scriptures already told us these things were going to happen. The scriptures already promised there's going to be another king after the order of Melchizedek. The scriptures already promised there's going to be a new covenant. I'm not introducing anything new. I'm just telling you. I'm showing you what the scriptures have said themselves, what our forefathers have read for generations. Now he argues like a rabbi. This is now Abraham coming out, as you remember from the battle. Melchizedek, king of Salem and priest of the Most High God, met Abraham as he returned from his defeat of the kings and blessed him. Look at that. Somebody blessed Abraham. Obviously, in the part that's left out, he says it himself, obviously, the greater blesses the less. Abraham didn't bless Melchizedek. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And then in an argument that doesn't seem to tell for us, I guess, but it is, but Levi was in Abraham. Levi is a child, a descendant of Abraham. So Melchizedek blesses Abraham, he blesses all his children. Now who is this Melchizedek? And now, this is a rabbinic principle, you argue from what is in the scriptures. In the scriptures, he's not Melchizedek, son of so-and-so. He's just Melchizedek. So that's why he argues this way, huh? First he plays with his name, Melchizedek. Melchizedek means my king is righteous, meaning my God is righteous. But you could take it this way, huh? And then he's king of Salem, which is Shalom. So he's king of peace. He has no father or mother or ancestry without beginning of days or end of life. He sure does, but not in Scripture. That's why he goes on to see, thus made to resemble the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Now notice, this is, Jesus doesn't resemble Melchizedek. Melchizedek resembles Jesus. Jesus is the model. Everything resembles Jesus. This is a very important point, you know, when we say, was Jesus' death on the cross a sacrifice? Well, yes, you could understand that because you see people kill animals and they offer them to God and substitute for their sin and stuff. And so Jesus, now you've made the category what human beings do, and then Jesus fits under it. Mm-mm. Jesus' sacrifice is here, and all other sacrifices are sacrifices insofar as they resemble that. He holds every human heart. His act of love on the cross draws every stumbling, bumbling effort to please God, to find God since the beginning of creation. And if we call them sacrifices, it's because they resemble Jesus. Understand? So, this Melchizedek resembles Jesus. Literarily, whereas Jesus really does have no father or mother as origin, he has a mother with his human nature. He has no ancestry, he has no beginning, he has no end. He is the living and eternal Son of God. And the way we write up Melchizedek, you can see already just by the way it's written, there's a glimpse of who's coming. Do you see the way he's arguing? And the powerful part, it is even more obvious. If another priest is raised up after the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become so, not by a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, that's the Levites, right? But by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And that's how Jesus is priest, forever. Because of the power of his life, which cannot be destroyed. And so you see, this whole letter is a treatise on the mystery of the resurrection as the completion of Jesus' sacrifice, which fulfills Yom Kippur. He is the sacrifice for all the people. But, as already the promise to Abraham has made, this to all the people means not just this people, but all people. Because all the nations of the world will be blessed in you. And now this is possible. So you see, he's got this one vision, the glory, majesty, beauty, attractiveness, power, mercy of Jesus Christ, glorious in heaven with the Father. And then he works out the rest. And as we go further, you'll see in one significant place, when he's talking about the covenant, and he said, Moses sprinkled the blood, and he said, this is the blood of the covenant. He didn't say, this is the blood of the covenant. He said, behold the blood of the covenant, and our man changes it, because this is my body, this is my blood. Anyway, if you really want to have a wonderful time, just read this letter to the Hebrews over and over and over again and let the Lord teach you. Now let's stand and pray. For life, that this march today be a real preaching of the gospel of life,